When you flip a light switch in your house and the bulb just doesn't turn on, your first instinct is usually just to like check the bulb, right?
Yeah, obviously, you think the bulb is dead.
Right. But sometimes, I mean, the problem isn't the bulb at all. It's a blown transformer three towns over, or maybe a regional power grid that's just quietly buckling under the strain of, a massive summer heat wave.
You're just standing there staring at this immediate localized symptom in your living room.
Exactly. You're completely blind to the massive invisible infrastructure that is actually pulling the strings, which honestly brings us to our mission for you today on this deep dive.
Yeah, we have a lot to get through today.
We really do. Today is Monday, August 3, 2026, and we are working through this stack of just incredibly dense sources from Tech and Night. And I want to be clear, we are not just reading the headlines today.
No, we're looking for those blown transformers.
Right. We want to uncover the hidden economic and structural forces that are secretly dictating these headlines. Because, well, at first glance, today's events look completely disconnected.
Totally unrelated on the surface.
Right. You have AI making a European gaming habit just impossibly expensive. You have this massive $165 million Bitcoin mystery. And you have the brutal physics of aerospace keeping certain nations grounded while others are, hitting Mach 5.
Yeah, we're looking at three domains here: macrofinance, consumer tech, and aerospace. They seem entirely separate, but they're currently being driven by the exact same underlying themes.
Which are what exactly?
Well, we're witnessing severe resource hoarding, rapid shifts in institutional capital, and just the undeniable, unforgiving realities of hardware physics.
Okay, let's dive right in and start by following the capital and the macro financial layer because the crypto chessboard is showing some bizarre movements this week.
It really is.
We have this massive story regarding Trump Media and Technology Group, the company behind Truth Social. On Saturday, August 2, two separate transactions moved 2,628 Bitcoin, which comes out to roughly $165 million directly to crypto.com.
Right. And to be absolutely clear for anyone listening, our focus here is strictly on the mechanical financial reality of the corporate balance sheet.
Exactly. We are analyzing the ledger, completely impartial, not the politics.
Right. And mechanically speaking, sending nine figures of Bitcoin to a public exchange is a highly, highly unusual maneuver for a corporate entity.
So let's unpack this and look at the numbers. On-chain data provided by Arcum Intelligence shows that Trump Media's wallets now hold exactly 4,261 Bitcoin.
And that specific number is the smoking gun here.
Yeah, because it perfectly matches the 4,260.73 Bitcoin that the company listed in its Q1 financial report as collateral for their convertible notes.
I mean, it is entirely too precise to be a coincidence.
Right.
The company spokesperson did issue a statement saying this transfer does not represent a sale of the Bitcoin. But, that raises a massive red flag regarding liquidity.
How so?
Well, if a major corporation wants to quietly liquidate $165 million in assets without causing a panic and, tanking the market price, they typically use over-the-counter channels.
Okay, let's pause there so we don't lose anyone in the financial weeds. Over-the-counter, or OTC, is essentially like it's like selling a massive mansion through a private broker rather than putting it on a public auction block where everyone can see the bids, right?
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
So if they aren't selling it privately, why move it to a very public centralized exchange like crypto.com?
Right, so that points directly toward yield generation or some kind of debt structuring.
Okay.
They might be utilizing institutional staking programs, which basically means locking up the crypto to help validate network transactions in exchange for earning interest.
Ah.
Or, alternatively, they might be using it to secure collateralized crypto loans. And the reason they would need to do that stems from the specific terms of those convertible notes.
The lockup period.
Exactly. The Bitcoin they put up as collateral cannot be distributed or withdrawn until May 29, 2028.
I just love this detail from the sources. It's literally like having your house in escrow, but you suddenly need cash, so you try to rent out a spare bedroom on Airbnb to make some quick cash.
Yeah, pretty much.
You literally cannot sell the house without triggering massive early payment penalties until 2028. So you have to get incredibly creative with your liquidity in the meantime just to cover your operating expenses.
And that creative liquidity management, it's a symptom of a much broader anxiety echoing across the entire crypto space this week. Institutional money is acting very strangely right now.
That actually shows up perfectly in the data because Bitcoin just broke a major psychological barrier, hitting $62,000.
Right.
And on the surface, that looks bullish, But under the hood, the Coinbase Premium Index has been negative for a record 77 straight days.
Which is wild.
It is. That is significantly worse than the 52-day record setback during the brutal 2022 crypto winter. And for anyone unfamiliar, this index tracks the price difference between Coinbase and international exchanges like Binance.
Right. So Bitcoin is currently trading cheaper on Coinbase.
Exactly.
And Coinbase is essentially the primary on-ramp for United States institutional investors. You know, hedge funds, family offices, corporate treasuries.
The big players.
Exactly. When that premium is positive, it signifies that U.S. money is aggressively buying and willing to pay a markup to acquire assets.
So a 77-day negative streak.
It suggests U.S. institutions have virtually zero appetite for buying spot Bitcoin on the open market right now.
But hold on, I'm looking at the ETF data from the sources, and Bitcoin ETF inflows in July were actually positive?
They were, yeah.
So if U.S. institutions are just ignoring Coinbase and exclusively using these new Bitcoin ETFs to gain exposure, isn't this 77-day negative premium just a broken thermometer? Like, maybe we are just measuring the wrong room.
That is the exact debate right now. Analysts are fighting over that exact question. The divergence between ETF flows and public exchange demand absolutely demonstrates a maturation in how capital moves.
Okay.
ETFs operate through something called a creation and redemption mechanism.
Let's translate that. Instead of clicking buy on a public app like you or I would, these massive funds have a wholesale backdoor.
Essentially, yes. Authorized participants trade massive baskets of cash for baskets of Bitcoin directly with the ETF provider's trading desks.
Wow. Okay.
And because they're using that wholesale backdoor, that volume bypasses Coinbase's public retail order books entirely. So the thermometer might indeed be broken, but it still indicates a fundamental shift in market structure.
Retail investors and smaller funds aren't driving the price on exchanges anymore.
Exactly.
And the market is holding its breath for three macro events this week to see where this institutional capital flows next. First up, we have the U.S. employment report. Because if jobs are strong, the Federal Reserve delays interest rate cuts.
Which is typically a major headwind for risk assets like crypto.
Right.
Higher interest rates make safe investments, like government bonds, more attractive, which raises the opportunity cost of holding an asset like Bitcoin that doesn't pay a baseline yield.
Right. And second, we have Circle's Q2 earnings. Circle manages USDC, which is a $77 billion stablecoin.
Massive.
Yeah. And in Q1, their revenue actually went up, but their net profit dropped 15% to $55 million because their operational costs spiked.
That's a big deal.
It is. USDC is basically the plumbing of institutional trading. If their usage drops or their margins keep shrinking, that is a glaring warning light for the entire ecosystem.
Absolutely.
And third, we have earnings from American Bitcoin, which is a major mining company.
And the miners are facing their own brutal reality post-halving. You know, back in April, the amount of Bitcoin they received for securing the network was mechanically cut in half.
Right.
If their electricity and hardware costs remain identical, their margins just vanish.
And if miners are unprofitable,
they're forced to sell their remaining Bitcoin reserves just to keep the lights on and cool the servers,
right,
which obviously dumps massive new supply onto the market.
And here is where we trace the flow of capital and see how these seemingly disconnected topics actually connect.
Yeah.
Because the crypto miners are struggling with electricity and hardware costs because they are suddenly competing for resources with a much bigger, much hungrier beast. Exactly. The money that used to flow into crypto infrastructure is now aggressively pivoting into AI data centers. And that resource hoarding is physically manifesting in the consumer hardware supply chain.
The ripple effects of that pivot are staggering.
Yeah. If you are a gamer in Europe, you are literally paying the price for this AI resource war right now.
Yeah, you are.
Microsoft just announced a massive, unprecedented mid-cycle price hike for the Xbox in Europe and the UK. The Xbox Series X, the 1TB disc version, went from 599 euro my 9 nors to 799.99.
That is just huge.
It's a 33% increase. And the budget console, the Series S, jumped from 349.99 to 499.99, which is a 43% hike.
And the hardware industry is placing the blame squarely on the global memory and storage component crisis.
Right.
The explosive demand for AI computing has essentially hijacked the global supply chain for high-capacity memory, specifically DRAM and NAND flash chips.
Okay, let's break those down. DRAM is essentially your computer's short-term desk space, right? Where it keeps the information it needs right this second.
Yep.
And NAND flash is the long-term filing cabinet where your saved games and operating system live. But why does AI need so much of both that it literally breaks the supply chain?
Well, training an AI large language model doesn't just require storing data in the filing cabinet.
Okay.
It requires spreading billions of parameters out on the desk all at once, so the neural network can process patterns simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so massive tech companies are buying up global memory capacity by the ton to build AI accelerators, which drives those component prices to record highs and leaves consumer electronics starved for parts.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I have to challenge this official narrative based on the numbers in the source material.
Go for it.
Industry analysts estimate memory prices have increased by roughly 15 to 20% over the past year.
Right.
But Microsoft hiked the budget Series S by 43% in Europe. And the most glaring detail here, U.S. Xbox prices remain completely untouched at $499.
Yep, launch price.
So if this is purely a component cost issue, why is the U.S. immune? I mean, aren't they just using the AI boom as a convenient smokescreen to fix their profit margins and strategically sacrifice their European market share?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, your skepticism is completely justified when you look at that geographic split.
It has to be deliberate.
It is. Microsoft is making a calculated, highly defensive market maneuver. You know, Europe represents a massive chunk of the global console market, but it is heavily dominated by PlayStation.
Right, Sony's stronghold.
Exactly. The PS5 with a disc drive is still retailing around $599 in Europe. By raising the Xbox to $799, Microsoft is knowingly pricing themselves out of competition.
I mean, making your nearly six-year-old console 200 euro more expensive than your direct rival is basically waving the white flag in Europe.
It is a deliberate sacrifice. By keeping the U.S. price at $499, they're fiercely protecting their home territory. They are choosing to eat the rising component costs in the United States to stay competitive against Sony while aggressively passing those supply chain costs and heavily padding their profit margins onto the European consumer to balance their global balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the gaming community is livid. I mean, the sources pull quotes from Reset Era and Reddit pointing out how absurd this pricing is for aging hardware.
Oh, absolutely.
One user pointed out that for 800 euro, you can now build a highly capable gaming PC that outright outperforms the Series X, and you wouldn't have to pay a monthly subscription just to play online.
And that backlash really highlights the real-world gravity of the AI boom.
Yeah.
You know, the insatiable appetite for AI computing power isn't just some abstract metric discussed in Silicon Valley boardrooms. It is physically dictating the cost of your everyday entertainment.
It's crazy.
The hardware constraints are forcing companies to make brutal choices about which markets they can even afford to compete in.
And those physical constraints don't just apply to living room consoles either. The exact same brutal economics of complex engineering are determining which nations make it to space and which are forced to stay grounded.
Yeah, this is where the physics of hardware becomes truly unforgiving. I mean, a gaming console can survive a faulty memory chip. A launch vehicle cannot.
Right. And we are seeing that play out in the United Kingdom right now. They were supposed to celebrate their historic first orbital launch from British soil, lifting off from the Saxeford spaceport in Scotland.
Big moment for them.
Exactly. The launch window was set for August 10, but the entire mission has been canceled and pushed to the fall because the German aerospace company running the launch, RFA, found a single technical flaw on the launch pad on July 28.
And to give some context, the RFA-1 is a 30-meter rocket relying on a cluster of 9 engines burning a mixture of kerosene and liquid oxygen.
Okay.
While this is a proven design conceptually, the execution is incredibly complex.
So what does this all mean? Walk us through why a 9-engine cluster is such an engineering nightmare.
Well, you have 9 separate, highly explosive chemical reactions that must ignite simultaneously.
Yikes.
Right. Then you have to manage the thrust vectoring. Thrust vectoring is how the rocket steers. It physically tilts the engine nozzles to balance the vehicle as it pushes through the atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
It is roughly equivalent to trying to balance 9 separate heavy brooms on your fingertips while they're all shooting fire. And if even one sensor misreads the pressure, the rocket tears itself apart.
Unbelievable.
So if they find a flaw in the pad, they have to drain the fuel and meticulously inspect thousands of components.
It's the ultimate high-stakes, single-use engineering. I mean, traditional rocketry is like building a million-dollar Ferrari, driving it perfectly one time, and then intentionally crashing it into the ocean.
It really is.
It is financially exhausting, which is why a single pad flaw halts a nation's space ambitions for months.
Which provides a staggering contrast to the aerospace developments happening in the United States right now with Stratolaunch.
Yes, exactly.
Because while the UK is struggling with the financial burden of traditional expendable rockets, Stratolaunch recently completed more than 10 successful hypersonic flights with their Talon A vehicle.
The mechanics of Talon A are genuinely mind-blowing. It doesn't launch from a TAT on the ground. Talon A is fully autonomous, and it is air-launched from a massive aircraft called ROC.
Yeah, the scale of ROC is insane.
It's the world's largest airplane, boasting a 117-meter wingspan. It carries Talon A up to 40,000 feet and just drops it.
Right.
The rocket motor ignites in midair. It accelerates to Mach 5, which is over 3,836 miles per hour. And when the mission is done, it glides back down and lands on a standard airport runway.
And dropping the vehicle from 40,000 feet means you completely bypass the thickest, most drag-heavy part of the Earth's atmosphere.
Which saves fuel.
You save massive amounts of fuel. Mm. But more importantly, landing on a runway fundamentally alters the economics of aerospace.
Yeah.
Talon A succeeds because it lowers the cost of failure.
Because you aren't crashing the Ferrari into the ocean anymore, Talon A is finally giving aerospace a reusable test drive.
Precisely. When you can land a hypersonic test vehicle on a runway, swap out the sensors, refurbish the heat shielding, and fly it again the next week, your cost-iteration ratio just plummets.
So, seeing the UK struggle so hard with these incredibly complex, multi-engine expendable rockets, does Talon A's success prove that air-launched reusability is now the only financially viable path forward for aerospace innovation?
This raises an important point. It absolutely proves it is the ultimate geopolitical advantage.
How so?
Well, the global hypersonics race, which heavily involves China, Russia, and the United States, will be won by whoever can test the fastest.
Because you need the data.
Exactly. Developing materials that can survive the friction of Mach 5 requires constant real-world data. The U.S. Department of Defense's MACHTB program is utilizing Talon A precisely because they can conduct dozens of tests a year.
Wow.
Traditional ground-launch rocket programs simply cannot keep up with that pace of iteration.
And the technology eventually trickles down to commercial applications, too. The sources point out that mastering these heat-resistant materials and high-speed communication arrays paves the way for ultra-fast commercial flights. We are talking about passenger jets flying from London to Sydney in 2 hours instead of 22.
Which brings us full circle to the core theme we've been tracking today.
Right.
Whether it is a 2-hour hypersonic flight to Sydney, a 799 gaming console in Europe, or a $165 million crypto transfer sitting in escrow, you were always looking at the end result of a massive hidden economic bottleneck.
Today, we've traced how those hidden constraints literally dictate the world around us. We watched locked-up collateral force creative, desperate crypto accounting. We saw how the insatiable demand for AI memory chips trickles down to make European gaming a luxury. And we explored how the brutal, unforgiving costs of expendable hardware are forcing the entire aerospace industry to abandon the launch pad and embrace runway reusability.
And the takeaway for you as you navigate this relentless landscape of information is to always look past the immediate headline.
Absolutely.
The next time you see an unexplainable price hike, a sudden launch delay, or a massive financial transfer on a public ledger, stop and ask yourself,
yeah,
what is the deeper mechanical bottleneck driving this? What is the invisible infrastructure pulling the strings?
Find the blown transformer. Don't just stare at the light bulb.
Oh, exactly.
And I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, combining a couple of the threads we pulled from the sources today. We know the AI industry is currently hoarding so much global memory that it's forcing a 200 a price hike on consumer electronics just to balance the market.
Yep.
We also know Talon A is successfully paving the way for ultra-fast autonomous Mach 5 travel. So what happens when we inevitably try to put those two things together?
Oh, that's a wild thought.
Right. Autonomous hypersonic travel will require vast amounts of onboard real-time AI processing to manage the physics of flying at 3,800 miles per hour. Will the next great supply chain crisis be a global shortage of the highly specialized AI chips required to safely fly commercial passengers from London to Sydney in 2 hours?
I mean, that is a collision of supply and demand that we are absolutely going to hit.
Something to think about the next time you look up at a plane in the sky. Thank you so much for joining us and exploring these sources today. Stay curious, keep looking for those hidden connections, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.